Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Lauren Lata with Otter Tail Power Company in Fergus Falls. And Madam Chair, members of the committee this afternoon, I have some students and some teachers from Rothsay Public School here to talk about our community energy challenge. And I'm going to let Kim Peterson, Otter Tail Power's manager of market planning, introduce what we're up to in Rothsay, Minnesota. And she will also introduce the members or the students and the teachers from the school system who will speak on behalf of the school and our community energy challenge. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Ms. Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kim Peterson, and I'm the manager of market planning at Otter Tail Power Company. And I'd like to have Grant Stramer and Shannon Backstrom join me up here today. They're going to present initially some of the challenges that we are facing in implementing this program. The Community Energy Challenge was part of the Next Generation Act's Minnesota SIP program, which includes an energy efficiency goal of achieving 1.5%. And that's a very large goal for us. So it's been requiring us to think creatively in different ways that we can implement a program. Otter Tail serves hundreds of small communities like Rothsay, most of them very rural in nature. The goal of this project was to choose one community to focus our efforts on and to bring every resource to bear on that single community that we had to offer, to find out what it would take to really make energy efficiency happen at a significant level. And when I mean significant, I'm talking about energy savings of about 15%. To put that in perspective, if the state's goal is 1.5%, you can imagine how large a goal it is when you're talking 15% savings. We did develop a list of criteria for the communities and went through a screening process to make the final selection. And the goal of the project, as we saw, was to pick one community that we could use to model energy-efficient behavior for generations to come. The timing on it was very good, and that being the stimulus fund activity that occurred almost simultaneously with our announcement. So we saw the goal as marshaling all of the resources and helping the community bring those resources together to implement efficiency. The kickoff began in April of 2009, with the majority of the work beginning in 2010. The next slide shows you a picture of what is out on the interstate by I-94. Rothsay is home to the prairie chicken. It's the world's largest prairie chicken. Rothsay embraced this challenge all the way from the city council down to every single member in all the small towns that are in Rothsay. It's a largely agricultural community. It has a 9-man football team, the Rothsay Tigers. What really struck us was the school. I don't want to call it a one-room schoolhouse, but it gives you that flavor because it has the preschool through 12 all in one building. It creates a very family atmosphere, solid values, solid goals, and the students are that you're going to be hearing from today are just a good example of the kind of people that live in Rothsay. The next slide kind of lays out the details of everything that we planned to do. It included a tremendous amount of education and consulting. We plan to do audits in every home that wanted one and all the businesses that requested one. The city did get a grant to cover a small portion of what we were going to ask participants to pay, so every resident could get an audit for free. The project also included installation of a number of free things would be installed at the time of the audit, but it also included larger incentives than are available in other parts of the state. Most of the time, customers have to pick between rebates and financing, and in this project, they can get both. The project includes a makeover where we will select one home to do an energy makeover on. The value of that makeover is around $12,000. And that process is going to be beginning in April. We're taking the results of all of the audits, which included blower door tests, so we can really figure out which of the homes need the most improvement and what dollar value investment we can make in that home to get the biggest bang for the buck. Around 30 to 50 of the homes in that community will have monitors installed that will allow customers to see in dollars and cents what their energy use is costing them. We don't think that a kilowatt hour meter is all that exciting, and most people don't go out and watch it spin to see what they're spending their energy on every day. So these in-home monitors are real-time feedback that give customers the ability to say, you know what, I think I'm spending too much today. Let's make some adjustments. And we're wanting to test that along with a bill analyzer, which is an online tool that really dissects the energy bill and helps people figure out where their energy is coming from. The next slide, you'll see a certificate of merit from Senator Amy Klobuchar, and I would just like to read it because it was given to the community of Ratse, it really resonated with us as well as the community for pioneering efforts to increase our nation's electricity, to decrease our nation's electricity demand through the Ratse Community Energy Challenge. The example you set in small town America is being heard as far as our nation's capital in the United States Senate, and the impact of your efforts will surely reach across the planet. It was a rallying cry. The community has definitely been involved. We held a kickoff event in April of 2009. Governor Pawlenty attended, as did Director Glahn, who is also in the room today. I think Governor Pawlenty felt much like a rock star when he walked in that gym because it was packed, and everyone was wearing matching blue and green T-shirts, and when he actually arrived, the gym just exploded, and it was really fun to see him come and talk to the students and the community about how important this project was and about what an example everybody was setting in the community. We held a workshop last fall at the community center to help residents figure out what they could do to save energy. And the school store, it's a really unique thing that they have. They have a store that's manned by the students, the faculty advises, and we're running much of the product through that store. They're handling much of the energy efficiency stock for the project. Slide number 6 is a proclamation from Governor Pawlenty. I would draw your attention to just a couple of statements in there where the community of Ratse and Otter Tail Power Company officially kick off the Community Energy Challenge designed to increase Ratse's energy efficiency and to preserve our environment for generations to come. This was very exciting. He designated that day as Otter Tail Power Company Pay It Forward Day because we see energy efficiency as one of the ways that we can preserve the environment for the coming generations, and that's in itself a Pay It Forward project. The next slide shows the logo at the top that for some of us in the utility business looked a lot like AC/DC, and we had to work really hard to get past it. But once the students designed this logo, and we think it's great, and it stands for Students for Community Energy Challenge. And the students that we have in the room today are on the leadership team. I have two wonderful leaders with me today, but I would like to just mention everybody that's here because they're playing key roles. They had to apply for this role. They had to be selected for this role. From the sixth grade, we have, and if you would just stand when I read your name, that would be kind of cool. Grant Stramer and Paige Campbell. From the seventh grade, Logan Moen and Skylar Buckingham. From the eighth grade, Brianna Jubert and Brett Brendan. From the ninth grade, Emma Larson and Aaron Brendan. 10th grade, Matt Zimmerman. 11th grade, Zachary Simmer and Shannon Backstrom. And from our 12th grade, Max Boyce and Hillary Johnson. Thank you, guys. You play a big role in this project. We have two teachers here today, too. Heather Reber is our band and choir instructor, and she's a faculty lead. And you will also be hearing from Colleen Brandt. She'll be doing a brief presentation, too, and she's also a teacher in Ratse. Aaron Zimmerman is dean of students there, and he'll be discussing some of the project with me, too. When I talked about the students playing a key leadership role, they helped us develop this project. They're helping us implement it. They're figuring out ways to get the message across. They've helped us make our advertising better. They've helped us make creative decisions. They distributed, and these guys are going to talk a lot about it, they distributed the energy pledges to every home in Ratse and stood at the door until people answered it in the pouring rain to get people to sign pledges to promise over the next year to save a certain amount of energy. They're helping us do measurement and verification. They're setting up spreadsheets. We're furnishing the data. They're crunching the numbers. We're going to be providing much of that to the OES. We're working on some curriculum development together with the teachers. But most importantly, they're modeling energy efficiency behavior. And I think that
is key. The
what is the population of the community?
500 people. And that, I think that's when all the cousins are there. I think it's I've seen numbers of 450, but if you look on the sign, it says 500. The student leadership team also developed energy patrol badges. They wear them in the school. They make sure that the school manages their energy wisely. They walk around making sure lights are off, systems aren't running when they don't need to be, computers aren't running when they shouldn't be. They design these T-shirts. They've designed the patrol badges, and they are the ones who are monitoring behavior in the school. Our early observations from the utility side, we call the timing positive with stimulus, and I put generally on there because you really got to want to find those stimulus funds. It's a fairly labor-intensive project, but the timing is good. The project itself is pretty labor-intensive. I don't think anything that we're getting requested from the community is unreasonable, but it's all time-intensive and things we should be doing. We're realizing our messaging is boring. And it's not on track as much as it needs to be. So we're working to fine-tune what that message needs to be and how to get it to resonate with people, because we aren't hitting it. We're a little worried about this social networking thing. It's a whole new, you know, utilities aren't the hotbed of creativity. This may come as a surprise to you, but it's true. So we're trying to get into social networking, and it's scaring us because we're big on controlling the message, and that doesn't allow that. Customers get the money savings, but they are slow to respond. And even larger incentives, financing, making it easy, it's still a challenge. Smaller communities have tremendous potential, but they lack resources to help get the job done. And I would say that the students are key, and they have endless energy, and that's what we have to tap into. To date, we have 70 residential audits nearly completed and out the door. The 12 businesses that make up ROTC have been audited. We have 66% of the community has promised to save energy in some way, shape, or form and return those pledges to us signed. We're very excited that the city of ROTC asked for an energy efficiency block grant through the state of Minnesota, and they were one of the outstate, as they call them, communities to receive a grant. And that's excellent. The savings from that are 133,000 kilowatt hours, or about the energy use of 11 homes. The school will be applying for a grant when that fund opens up in April. They are in badly need of a heating system. They want to put in a geothermal. They need to do some things with lighting. We're hoping to see them meet that grant. We think we're on target to hit the goal optimistically. Realistically, we think we are coming in at a solid 9% savings, which we feel pretty good about. But creatively and optimistically, we could see 15%. And the last couple, I just wanted to attach a couple of the letters that the students wrote to President Obama inviting him to the kickoff. And what I particularly enjoy is that I think they do have President Obama's suit nailed. I believe that's exactly the suit that he wears. And little Emily, Chris there, the letter on the right, I believe that's Michelle Obama. Many of the letters included inviting her. If you're wondering what the teddy bear looking like thing is in the letters, that's our Ollie the Otter, our logo. The third letter from Devin Wagner invited the president and really thought that the compelling thing to get him there would be if he knew he could lead Ollie the Otter in the chicken dance, that then he might come. And while we didn't see the president, he did send a letter to the school, and that was very nice, and we're still working on getting Michelle Obama there to do a book reading as part of the project. So my comments are concluded. I would draw your attention to the last page where the students are going to be talking about a video that they're making. And the link to that video is going to be that last URL there, energychallengeson.com. And I'll just leave it at that and let the students explain the rest of the project to you. That concludes my formal comments, and I'll turn it over to Grant.
I just wanted to start off by saying that I'm very glad to be here at the state capitol today. Well, my name is Grant Stramer, and I'm from the sixth grade from ROTC Public School, and I'm part of the SCEC team. It's a team of students that are the leaders for the energy challenge at school and in the community. There are a lot of opportunities that we get to do that other people don't get to do. Here's one thing we get to do that other people don't get to do in Ratsey Public School. We have monthly meetings, and we talk about what we are going to do in the future to save energy. The SCEC team is actually doing a project right now. What we are doing is we are putting together a YouTube video. It's pretty fun because we are the directors of it, the filmers of it, and even in charge of promoting the YouTube video. So that is another thing the SCEC team gets to do. The Community Energy Challenge is what started this team. Ratsey was the one who won the Community Energy Challenge. That means that our school and our town are trying to save a lot of energy so they don't have to pay as much on their energy bills. Another opportunity the SCEC team had was that they got to do energy pledges. The pledges were pretty fun to do because they had to pick six things what they could do to save energy in their homes. We did this on a wet and muddy day, and it was also raining, but we still had pretty fun. But we still had a lot of fun and met a lot of people who wanted to participate in this opportunity. But also some people didn't want to do it. So we just said, thank you for telling us. Maybe next year you'll want to try this opportunity. Even if someone wasn't home, we'd put a bag on their door. Then we would go to the next house. After we did these pledges, we had to do the following up calls to people who we left a bag on their door. This was another thing the SCEC team got to do and other people didn't. Our goal for our pledges was we had to get over 60%. And if we made our goal, we're going to go bowling. We passed our goal by 66%, so we did go bowling. We also went to Hoot Lake Plant and the Otter Tail Power offices. It was pretty fun at both these places. At Hoot Lake Plant, we learned how the machines work there and how the energy is made from coal. At the Otter Tail Power offices, we learned how they get the letters into the envelope and about meters. It was also very fun at the Otter Tail Power offices because they had a lot of robotic machines. They also taught us at the print shop how they transferred colors on a sheet of paper. And these are some of the ways that we on the SCEC team have opportunities. We are going to make a difference.
My name is Shannon Backstrom, and I'm a junior at Ratsey Public School, and I'm very, very excited to be part of this team.
Well, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. This whole challenge started when Ratsey was chosen, was the chosen town to commit to reducing energy use. Once we found out about this, the entire student body wrote letters to President Obama asking him to come celebrate the Community Energy Challenge. Fortunately, he's out of the country, but I'm pretty sure he would have made it otherwise. The community of Ratsey kicked off the energy challenge by holding an unveiling on what was to come and inviting Governor Pawlenty and local newscasters. We filled the gym with supporting members of the area, including Governor Pawlenty. In late September, the student leadership team was formed, and we have two students from each grade. Should I introduce him anyway? You already did.
You don't have to.
She already introduced him. But we started by having monthly meetings, and the first big project was we walked around Ratsey giving pledges to people in the community, reminding them to save energy. And it was really rainy, and my feet didn't recover for about a week because they were cold. And we did a lot of follow-up calls to meet our goal of 60%. Participation, we actually received 66%, so we were rewarded with a bowling party on our trip to tour Hoot Lake Plant and the Otter Tail Power Company offices. We toured Hoot Lake Plant, where we got to see how electricity is made. We also toured the Otter Tail buildings, where we learned about the print shop and the meter center. We are also doing a video project that's going to be on YouTube, and our goal is 5 million viewers, and it'll be presented on Earth Day, April 22nd, so you should all watch it.
I'm curious about what was the start date of your program, and it runs for an entire year, is that correct? Is it an annual year? Like
the program was, thank you, Manager, the program was approved in 2008. We started heavy early development in 2009. It kicked off April 9th, 2009. The heavy lifting is occurring in 2010, but we're measuring behavioral change and energy efficiency change for 5 years in the community.
And what are some of the things that people are doing to save energy?
The energy pledges, do you guys remember what was on some of the energy pledges? What would you like to tell, Madam Chair?
One of the ones was you can shut off the lights when you leave a room.
You could, like, shut shades or open them for heating stuff and shut off computers and other stuff like that.
Other things that we're promoting in the community are rebates on efficient lighting, heating systems, recycling appliances, in-home monitors, demand controllers, efficient motors, refrigeration, weatherization, to just name a few. The incentives are designed to cover 25% to 75% of the cost of the installation.
And how are you measuring your success?
Well, thanks to the state of Minnesota's Office of Energy Security, the measurement and verification protocols for these kinds of programs are pre-approved, and we have to develop a baseline for the community. So we've established what that is. And then through a variety of fairly technical simulations, you have to weather normalize all the data for an extended period of time, measure it against a control group of comparable size and makeup, and then determine changes to the baseline from there. Now, we also have the deemed savings database in Minnesota, so if you retrofit an existing system, you know what your approved energy savings is on that system, and that comes also out of a database that the Energy Security has, Office of Energy Security has administered. So it's part of it's relatively easy, and then part of it's complex and takes time.
And people are going to save money, so next year you can go around to those other 34% and suggest that they join you, huh?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Madam Chair.
Questions? Senator Rosen.
I just have a couple questions for either Mr. Strammer or Ms. Backstrom. How did you come to the agreement of 15%? Or maybe Ms. Patterson can answer. What was the, was that, could it have been 10%? 12%, but you came up with 15%. How come?
They maybe want my help a little bit on that.
Okay.
Madam Chair and Senator.
15% is what we would call the technical potential in that community, and it was demonstrated as a, when we looked at the audits from the commercial industrial sector, the technical potential, meaning if we took everything that was available in that community and we got everybody to do it, what's the potential? Not taking into account economics, payback, other conditions, willingness, and that came back at about 16%. So that 15% we see is really the technical potential. I mean, we have to hit everything right to achieve that number. It's a lofty goal, but I think the key here is what can you really achieve if you set an incredibly high goal, something that would be astronomical to obtain.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. And this is to the two witnesses. What is in your energy efficiency stock room at the school? What do you have in the stock room? Light bulbs, that type of thing?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, I do have one more. I received from some of the kids in my Senate district the suggestion to turn lights off for a couple hours during the day, which I thought was a great idea. Are you kids doing that at your school? Yeah? How long are you turning the lights off, Madam Chair?
Senator Rosen.
It depends on the class, too, and if it's not in use.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So instead of walking out of a room and leaving the lights on, you turn them off if you're not using it.
Yeah.
Senator Dahl.
Madam Chair, thank you. This reminds me of the movie Cold Turkey, where the whole town of Eagle Rock, Iowa, had to quit smoking. But anyway, this is better, I think. But I want to thank the students for coming today, and it's always good to see students motivated in school. I had a question for Ms. Peterson. I see you had 70 residential audits completed, 12 business audits. Your goal is all businesses and residential. And how's that going? Is there any resistance at all? And are you able to keep up with the demand in that area?
Ms. Peterson.
Thank you, Chairman. Senator. All of the businesses responded to the audit, even though the business audits cost $100 per participant, which we're subsidizing a very large portion of that audit. But it's still costing them. Oddly enough, 25 to 30% of the residential class did not respond to the free residential audit. I think that's telling, but I don't know what that's telling yet. And I think that's what one of the things we've got to figure out is we offer to give you a $300, $400 valued residential audit at no cost to you. Why? You know, help us understand what we didn't say right or what was it that made you uncomfortable that you didn't want to do it. I don't have the answer to that today, but that's one of the questions we have to figure out.
Senator John Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to echo Senator Dahl's comments to the students. Good work. Thanks for doing that. I think it's really important. What I'm taking from this is that saving energy is easy. It's changing habits that's hard. And, you know, maybe part of that 30% is that mean those people know they'd have to change things from the way they're doing. And so just avoid trying to do that. It's a long-term commitment. And it's easier to maybe set, you know, habits to begin with now at your age where you can develop and carry that on and share that with your family members. And so I really congratulate you. I love the logo. I think it's great. And as it's AC/DC is one of the best rock bands in the world anyway. It's good. And maybe Otter Tail Power can, continue an incentive program, maybe like the Twins game or something once you guys get to that 100% mark. So.
Senator Rosen and then Senator Rummel.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, would like to echo that, too. I think the message is wonderful coming from the kids. I think that's the smartest thing because you look back at how much, just growing up and how you were trained to turn off the lights or not litter and how that – and now you tell your kids to do that. And the same thing could be said about the seatbelts, how you can't even go out of the driveway without – your kids saying, Mom, where's your seatbelt on? So this is something that has to come from the kids, and I think that's extremely important to get to those people that are not getting the message clearly. It has to come from the kids. Ms. Peterson, the question I have for you is how have you discussed this on the larger scale? You certainly have taken it to the small community. Has Otter Tail been talking about how it's going to work in a larger community and if it's feasible and what's the game plan and have the kids been involved in that discussion, too?
Ms. Peterson.
Madam Chair, Senator. First of all, a large community to Otter Tail is a 12,000-person community. We don't serve many large communities. But what we're learning, I think, can easily be transferred because we're learning some foundation things that we're not doing right. For instance, the first letter that we sent out to the community to talk to them about the project, we had the city council members read it, and they ripped it apart. And it was good because we wrote it in utility speak because it's all we know. And they rewrote it for us. And well, you know, that's basically an online panel that you've got at your fingertips to help you communicate better. And you don't know what you don't know. And so I think we're trying to be really open to how to do this differently. And that's the key and what I think is behind that next generation goal. I mean, I'll say it's going to be tough to hit 1.5% unless we get people like
grant involved. We can't do it. We cannot make this happen. But if we get the right people on board with the right messaging and the right army pushing everything in the right direction, then I think it's achievable. Utilities on their own, we're going to struggle because we're too tucked in our own world with our own fears. We wouldn't have come up with this. And I will tell you, we have a comparable project called the Campus Energy Challenge where we're doing a college. That's just like nervous wreck messaging going on there. The logo development was blushing compared to what this one is. And those are good messages for us because we aren't getting the message across. So we're learning good lessons that I think translate. We'll see if we can put them into action. And the two other speakers that I have coming to talk to you today, too, are going to talk to you a little bit about how their roles are being influenced in this project, Aaron Zimmerman and Colleen Brandt, who also is one of the teachers, and they have a little bit of a presentation as well.
We have one more senator that has a question, then we'll move on to the other speakers. Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just so that you know, we also have to do a lot of learning. Ms. Peterson, you made a comment about how difficult it is for getting to the grants through the stimulus. Can you give us some examples of what makes it so hard? Is there something we can do to make it easier for people? Because that's going to be key.
Well, first of all, Ms. Peterson, Madam Chair, Senator, sorry about the protocol break.
That's okay. I just need to announce your name for the tape.
Thank you. Minnesota's not alone in its implementation of stimulus funds the difficulties associated with it. But what I have noticed and what I think our customers are seeing is just the paperwork process and making sure that you're staying on top of when the RFP opens up. You got to be on that steady. You got to watch it steady. And the paperwork that the school has to fill out as well as the city, they couldn't have done it without some help. This, being a small customer, they don't have engineering staff on board. They don't have energy experts on board. So when they have to figure out the B3 database that exists at the state and make sure that they're in there, well, that alone was a cumbersome process that they couldn't have done without our help. And responding to the grant process is you've got to know grant writing. You've got to know how to do that. You've got to be able to quantify energy savings. And that isn't something that the average Joe gets up every day and thinks about. And we feel that that is a role that we should provide. But when we filed our status report on April 1st with the OES on these projects, we're saying customer has reasonable expectations. We aren't staffed to meet them. Somebody has to bridge this gap, whether it's us or you or somebody, but to help them figure out this energy world. I mean, it's complicated, and people don't get up every day and think about it. And so the paperwork is the biggest problem, I would say. Okay.
Well, thank you. Shannon and Grant, thank you for your presentations. And next we'll call on Colleen Brandt and Aaron Zimmerman.
Madam Chair and Senators, I'm Colleen Brandt. I'm a second grade teacher in Rossay. And I'm a leader along with Heather Reber, and she's our band and choir director. And we are the home of the Rossay Tigers. And my expectation today is to tell you the overall impact of the teachers and the students working together, how we create unity and focus, and how we involve thinking and involve our lesson plans in this. And thank you for the opportunity to let us speak. The kids are very excited. They've been looking forward to this trip, and it's been, even if it's a dreary day, it's been great. Awesome. But it's been a wonderful year with these students so far. First of all, we began by having the students fill out applications and about them and tell why they wanted to be a part of the student leadership team and how they thought the Energy Challenge would affect our community. And Heather Reber and myself, along with Otter Tail Power, we looked at it, and it was interesting to have someone else in there because as teachers, you look at students in a certain way, and then to get someone else who had a fresh viewpoint, and we are just so excited about the kids that are chosen because they are just proving to do an awesome job. They're energetic. They're filled with ideas. They're thinkers. They're talkers, and they are very hard workers. And our mission for our school is to produce lifelong learners and good citizens, and we feel that this is a tremendous way to teach our children this mission. Grant and Shannon kind of went through our pledge drive when we went out to the community, so I won't talk about that again. We're excited about our YouTube video that the students are creating. It will be released on April 22nd, and yes, they filmed it, and they got up, they wrote the script, and we just had a ball doing it. They are just full of ideas. It shows what the Energy Challenge for ROTC is all about and how it's going to affect our community and even bigger, our own world. And we hope that you watch it and pass it on to all the people that you know, because our goal is to have 5 million viewers, and that's a big goal, but this whole project is making big goals and that we hope to achieve. So when we get done, Kim had the link, so that we hope that you will look at that. Our group meets once a year or once a month over our lunch hour, and the kids enjoy getting together and sharing their ideas. They're wonderful at brainstorming. We've done tours to Hoot Lake Plant and Otter Tail Power. They've worked on analyzing utility bills in a with the computer hardware. They have navigated through utility websites. They've evaluated bills and with the bill analysis software, and they've keyed in data for all the town's participants. So Mrs. Reber and myself, we are in awe of their abilities. It's like you give kids something to do and you think they'll never do it, and they just run with it. It's just exciting. So it's been amazing to hear their ideas and watch this all evolve into a meaningful project. When we began, it's just like, where is this going to go? And it's just flying. It's just fun. We think that they're wonderful energy ambassadors. The teachers in our school have been teaching energy lessons throughout the year. We have a school website, so all of our weekly lesson plans are on there, and they're all coded with energy, a certain color for energy lessons. The elementary classes have selected a student each week or that are on the Energy Patrol, and the one badge was in your first handout that was designed by students, and they love wearing them and making sure the lights are off. And sometimes they decide that we don't need all the lights on. We'll turn two off today, and you can just have one when you're reading or doing something, because that's wasting energy. So they're very good about that. Otter Tail Power came and presented a program on energy usage, how the energy gets to our town and how to handle it and to be near it. They explained the jobs of the linemen and all the dangers. So that was very good for the kids. All of our lessons, we try to integrate them within our curriculum, and that's been fun because there's so many things. Otter Tail Power has got a good site, and the kids love going to that. Even the book that you have written for Ollie the Otter, that's online, and the kids can do it. To begin the project, too, they came into our school, and they filmed. For some of you that are a bit older that remember Art Linkletter's Kids Say the Darndest Things, it's very similar to that, and that's on their website and ours, and it's hilarious. And it is so filled with kid knowledge, which isn't always the right thing, but it's really cool. But we are very excited to work with Otter Tail Power. We feel confident that we've created an awareness of electricity, and we think that the kids really feel that it's a valuable resource that they need to save. So thank you for letting us speak.
Thank you. Mr. Zimmerman?
Madam Chair and Senate Committee, thank you for allowing us to be here today and speak. My name is Aaron Zimmerman. I'm the Dean of Students and Activities Director at ROTC Public Schools. A couple of you asked questions, how big it is. Let me put this in perspective a little bit of ROTC here, if I can, for just a minute, if you're not well aware of where it's at. Number one, I think the most important part about ROTC is the I-94 corridor for a community of 500 people to be right on the interstate, to be able to be accessed quite often and easily with the community. And we talk about challenges with the energy piece here. Remember, we're trying to make changes with a very Scandinavian community that change doesn't always happen real readily in many ways, educationally and or just in community practices, because we've done these things for many years. But as mentioned here earlier, the students are helping breach these changes in the practices here, and that's the most important piece. So on behalf of the administration and the school board, I'll speak on what the school is looking at and what we feel our role is in helping out students, staff, and the community as we work in this five-year venture with Otter Tail Power. It is a major balance between the ability to be energy efficient with operating equipment and updating the school versus the behaviors. That is a main consideration in this entire program, and most importantly, in the educational world we feel we've done an excellent job of balancing funds and being very frugal, providing excellent education with the resources that we have. So with this project, I think the most important part that we can do is the behaviors that you've heard from the students that we're taking part in and the people in the community to help save energy on the school's behalf. What can we do daily in that building to help measure the success? We'll see those numbers as they come. The students are practicing these things. We mentioned some of the pieces with turn the lights off and so forth. I come up in the morning often and put my lunch in the faculty lounge, and the lights are off. They are sitting in the hallways. They are in the dark. Hopefully that ends at 8:30. But it is something that they do practice. It's fun to watch the students make some of these behavior changes on, you know, only using half the lights in the room, pulling the shades down at night. You know, if it's sun shining, we got them open, and if it's not, we have them closed, so forth. It's some practices that are seem quite simple, but there are some desired results coming from those things. Otter Tail Power helped a school with an audit piece that was conducted. Those components produced these results on suggestions that they had for the school board and administration and staff and students to really look at. And those things were install 28-watt T8 lamps throughout the entire school, replace the gym metal halide fixtures, the lights that take about 10-15 minutes to turn on, and when you turn them off, it takes that long to redo that again, which is very difficult at times. So with these high bay T8 fixtures, install occupancy sensors, exhaust fans, and timer switches, replace existing fan motors, install Energy Star clothes washer and refrigerators and appliances. Also use, the big one is going to be the heating system. I'll talk on that in just a minute. But preferably a geothermal heat pump system in a building is it historic? I think it's quite historic. But we're something that is taking a lot of time to look at, but also a very important, the resources we're using and the process, I think, has been going very well to help us make that decision. And replacing a roof, the whole piece over the gym and band. So with that, the school board did sign on with the controls company and to help us with all those numbers, to help us work us through these decisions, and it has been a process that has been very interesting, and with the help of everybody, we're getting closer and making those decisions on the heating process. The entire gym and band piece will all have new roofing and so forth coming. So with that, what we've done to this point at Rotze Public School with this program, keeping in mind it's within a budget of Rotze Public School, within a building that is something that needs to work and isn't always the most pliable all the time when you have older structures and putting in new pieces here to make it work, and then diligently working together. We have retrofitted the entire gym to this point. The high majority of that was all granted, and the payback is usage is we're looking at about 2 years to get that paid back. Which is something that, you know, the gym in this community that size, the gym is the most used facility in the entire community for any major function. Properly insulating in the roof piece that I mentioned is going to take place in the summer of 2010 here. Operational changes, our custodial staff has made several changes on timing of exhaust fans, of actually turning them off so we're not taking hot air out of the building rapidly, and which is not overly energy efficient. So that's been a new practice for our custodial staff. The redirect piece is kind of the piece you saw that Kim Peterson had on the green team piece, is the operational changes for our students. Those pieces we have with the measurement of those will determine the money back will go back into the students. So how much money will we do to our behaviors, how much money that will be is yet to be seen. Most important piece is the education, the culture we're trying to build with this program. Desired projects, the heating piece is the big one. When school systems are working with projects, a school system that has 235 students, K-12, 22 teachers, about 10 to 15 support staff. Not often do we put in $1.5 million projects in our facility. So that's something that's being very closely looked at. How are we going to do that? How, you know, what's the payback? Might not be the $1.5 million project. Might be some other type of project, but something that is being looked at quite closely. And our board, with the help of Otter Tail Power and so forth, the controls company, will do that. The lighting throughout the entire building, I feel, will take place, and entertaining many other projects. Benefits to the school, number one in general is the improvements in the quality of the school. To me, when I say improvements in the quality, it's not the products. It's the culture we're building with the attitudes with the students, staff, and community is the major improvement in building leadership. For faculty and staff and programmings with our elementary, Mrs. Brandt mentioned the educational benefit for our students through this entire process, including developing leadership with 12 people here that we asked them to lead our other students. I want to mention one thing on that. We did have a lyceum in our gym, and it was probably one of the most rewarding days for me to walk into the gym. I didn't have to grab the mic. Not that I don't mind grabbing the mic. The students did the whole thing. So to sit there and watch them lead an entire lyceum talk about these things, it is, I apologize about the emotion piece, but it's quite entertaining to see that happen. And as I watched it, I told Kim on the way down here today, I'm kind of a different fella because I'm watching them all the time, whether they like it or not. But most of the people were watching the students on the floor. I was also watching the ones in the bleacher. And you can tell that I wish that was me, being that leader. So to their credit, thanks for what they do. And they got a big job. And I heard that mentioned here today. With that, with this program, I heard, you know, being a small community in a small school, we can also have quite a loud voice in such a project. So my goal is the utility savings is a big one. We're looking at those things financially as an administrator. I also saw the value when Otter Tail Power came to ROTCE with this program, the educational value. That's what I'm in business for, and that's what we hope we know. And with that, we have many surrounding communities that are a little bit bigger, but in the same, I would say, in some of the same situations that we are, that hopefully our students in over this 5-year plan and so forth beyond that, that we can take this on the road into other schools and maybe even outside of our territory in Northwest Minnesota to talk about this entire project. So with that, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here today. It is exciting. It's electricity, but it is exciting. We do enjoy it. Thank you much.
Well, thank you very much. It's interesting to hear the various creative ideas that communities are coming up with in order to help us meet our state goals of conserving at least 1.5% of energy each year. And you kids look very, very smart, and I know that you, this wouldn't go forward without all your help, so we really do owe you a debt of gratitude. And as some of my colleagues have said, it isn't easy to teach an old dog new tricks, but if you start at the beginning and it becomes a part of your natural habit, that's how we're going to be successful in conserving energy. So thank you. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. I wish you lots of success, and we want to hear about how it all progresses as you go on with the project.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have one more item on our agenda, and that is the reconfirmation of PUC Commissioner Betsy Werken.
Need to lose some weight.
Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Madam Chair, it's always a little difficult to follow a group of students that's excited about a project, so I'm sure glad you ended with a couple of adults speaking instead of kids.
Maybe it'd be best if I'll remind you that Commissioner Wergen was first appointed, I think it was in June of 2008, wasn't it?
Yes.
And she's here now for, she was filling out the term of the previous commissioner, and she's here now being reappointed for a full term.
That's correct, Madam Chair. That term ended in January, and the governor reappointed me in December for a full term now on the Public Utilities Commission. I'm very grateful for that. I'm thoroughly enjoying the work. So.
Well, we'd like to hear about your experience on the Public Utilities Commission and if you've had some surprises.
Oh, many. Well, Madam Chair, today is actually a pretty good example. Just sitting here listening, when you're serving on the commission, all you have to do is listen and communicate and research and just watch what's happening around you, and you learn something new every day. And I have always enjoyed learning. When I started, it was sort of like the old saying, drinking from a fire hose. One of the first things that happened was a rate case for one of our utilities that had not had a rate case for over 20 years. And so it was difficult and contentious, and there were some unusual circumstances. And it takes about a year to complete a rate case in a good way and to come in, and that decision is made in a very short time after you've been there. You have to do some intense studying and catch up. But it was also a very good experience because it did force some fast learning, and I did get to see some unusual circumstances in that first rate case. And that is probably one of the larger things that we do. Currently we have five, since I got there, we have resolved five rate cases, and we have four that are in process, and actually one that was just submitted and two more that are expected to be submitted. So it's been a very big case, a very busy place. As a matter of fact, the commissioner whose place I took said that I have already dealt with more rate cases in approximately a year and a half than he thought he did in 10 years on the board, on the commission. And so it's been interesting, to say the least. I have to admit that when I got there, I learned that I knew very little about telecom. That was like a learning curve that was straight uphill. And I did learn that there are more acronyms than any one person can possibly remember. But again, telecom is such a changing industry, just like the energy is, and so there's constant learning. There is no stopping point. It's continuous, and so you have to maintain that attitude of research and learning to keep up with everything that's happening. I handed out a sheet, and I hope you got that. First of all, there was a letter with my resume, and most of you do know me, but if there's any questions from that, I'd be happy to answer them. But the other sheet that I handed out had some of the things that have been happening at the commission essentially since I got there. And if you look at that one, which I myself don't have, you'll see that there have been some very interesting things since I got there. Interestingly enough, we have approved over 1,700 megawatts of wind since I got there, and we have 971 that are in process at this point in time. That's a significant amount of wind energy that has come through the doors of the PUC for approval and been looked at, and all of the siting and routing, the siting and need established for them. It's interesting that as we go in some of the large projects, there is more, there is more resistance to some of those projects than there was at first. So there are some interesting transitions happening that will be challenging in the future, I think. Then if you look a little bit further down, we have approved or upgraded 85 miles of transmission, and there are 683 miles that are awaiting final disposition in projects. Pipeline, we've approved 473 miles, and of course the rate cases I talked about earlier. Alternative form of regulation, that is when the telecommunications companies come in, and instead of their regulation being based on expense and return on equity or return on investment, their is an alternative form basically that deals with competitive markets, other regions and how those packages are priced, and so they don't follow the strict form of regulation that energy does, and we have had two of those cases since I got there. We have also approved, as was set in statute, I believe in 2007, a decoupling plan for CenterPoint Energy, which sort of separates profit from sales so that there is more incentive to do conservation than there would have been without that. And as you heard from the group ahead of me, conservation is an important thing, and we have the conservation improvement plans that we look at all of the time. And the utilities are working hard, I believe, to fulfill that mission that you set out for them. Madam Chair, I don't want to take more time than you need to, and so if you want to ask questions instead of my rambling, that's wonderful.
What's the most challenging thing that's faced you?
For me, I think it was learning about telecom and everything that it involves, what a wire center is, what a cageless operation is, a CLEC versus an ILEC, and the list just goes on, and going to a telecom center to see what it actually looks like and understand that you're just talking about a bunch of wires in a room and it has all these things to go with it. That was probably the most challenging to learn.
We're going to do a telecom 101 in the next couple of weeks. So.
Well, Madam Chair, you will
enjoy
that. You
might want to join us.
There you go. Madam Chair, it was very good to have the opportunity early after getting to the commission to go to a school basically for 1 week, which was a school to learn more about the rate-making process and actually work through a case pencil in hand and end up setting rates for a utility in a one-week school. That was very helpful. And I have found also since I got there that I'm very grateful that I had some accounting in my background. I took accounting classes many centuries ago, it feels like, but I dug out the accounting books, and also I worked as a cost accountant for a manufacturing firm, and that came in very handy, and I've appreciated that part of my background.
Questions or comments? Senator Alcine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In our area, I was reading about, I don't know if you've gone to Brazil yet or you're going to Brazil, but it's frustrating to me that Mora with the East Central Solid Waste Commission has been trying to do a methane to gas, and they keep running into roadblocks from the MPCA or whichever organization. And I hope that your work at the PUC can maybe work to streamline some of these processes, because it seems like we all want to do things for energy efficiency, but it seems like we're putting up artificial roadblocks to stop projects from happening or slow them down. And so I'm asking that your work at the commission, you can maybe try to be a bridge between some of these other entities of the state.
Commissioner Bergen.
Madam Chair, Senator Alcine, we don't actually regulate methane collection and generation at landfills in the state of Minnesota, but it was also surprising to me what parts of my former careers came into play, and that came as a result of having served as a county commissioner and establishing a methane collection system in a public-private partnership at the Elk River landfill. There are currently four generators there that are working, and Brazil has some technology on methane collection on landfills as well. And so that is a partnership project through NARUC and the Department of Energy. And I am the commissioner from Minnesota that's been designated on that project, because believe it or not, I'm only the only commissioner in the United States that's had experience with that type of project. I have always thought that that's a wonderful thing to do on landfills. There is a lot of gas that's generated from MSW, mixed municipal solid waste. And to take it and burn it and turn it into electricity is certainly better than allowing it to seep into the ground in one form or another. And so although there probably isn't much of anything that we can do at the PUC, if there's something I could do personally or working with another agency to streamline that process, I would certainly like to do that.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and very nice to see you, Commissioner Wergen.
My question to you, Commissioner, is where do you think the current and the future challenges with transmission are that you're facing and that we are going to face and that our goals will be facing?
Commissioner Wergen.
Madam Chair, Senator Rosen, I have to be very cautious not to talk about any dockets that we have open, and so I'll just make some general statements. Working on transmission, siting a transmission line anywhere is very difficult, even if it's a matter of just upgrading a corridor from a 115 to a 230 line or a 345 kV line or something like that. Siting becomes an issue because no one wants a power line in their backyard. It's also an issue. There's always a little bit of suspicion. Is this really needed? Is this going to bring wind energy? Is this going to bring energy from a coal plant? Who's going to pay for it? That's an enormous issue. And there is a process underway called CARP, Cost Allocation Resource Planning, that is a multi-state venture in order to work toward an agreement on how to share the cost for these lines, because with some of the renewable energy, it's not necessarily the people along the transmission line that are benefiting from it in any great degree, and yet it passes through their backyard. And so to figure out who's going to pay for it, who benefits, and then as that CARP process moves forward, then there is also MISO, which is the Independent System Transmission Operator for our region. They also have to submit a cost allocation plan to FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and it's very complicated, and I don't expect it to be a smooth process to figure out who's going to pay for it. So siting is difficult. Paying for it is worse.
Other questions or comments? I might mention that Chair David Boyd and Commissioner Phyllis Rhea are also in the audience with us today.
Madam Chair?
Senator Olson.
I would like to move approval at the appropriate time.
Yeah, the appropriate motion is we recommend that the Senate consent to the reappointment of Commissioner Wergen to the PUC.
My words exactly.
Okay. on that motion, is there any discussion, Senator Sanjum?
Madam Chair, I just want to offer a number of us had an opportunity to work with Senator Wergen in a different life. That is a Minnesota senator. She is one of the most wonderful, outstanding persons that I think I've ever, maybe really frankly known. And she's a studied person, a compassionate person. I can't tell you how many times I've called Senator Wergen to go out to dinner, and she's studying her lessons relative to the PUC. She has a quick study. She's worked hard at this. She's absolutely, in my mind, the kind of person that we need on a commission like this. And I just know, and without hesitation, that she will do it right, and she will do it fair, and she will do it in the best interest of the state of Minnesota.
Well, and I had an opportunity to attend some meetings with the PUC, and I know that she's already doing that.
Madam Chair, thank you, and thank you, Senator Sandum.
So Senator Olson renews his motion that the Senate recommend consent to the reappointment of Commissioner Wergen to the PUC. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
You're welcome. That concludes the business before us today. Do we have a meeting first? There is no meeting on Thursday, but I believe there will be meetings next week. Meeting is adjourned.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.